Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, the 13th, Friday, October 13th, 2017. The phone lines are open this hour, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. I want to play another video here in a minute or two, and this one from End Times News Report, Jake over there, published yesterday, titled "Official Las Vegas Shooting Story is Falling Apart Fast." This is it's also titled "Vegas Investigation Part 6. I'll link this one and the last one we played in the final segment of the first hour from Dennis over at DNN, Deplorable News Network, titled "Another Timeline Change." Las Vegas incident reports this morning say that a dot dot dot. So this is crazy stuff. You know, we've gone, I mean, think about it. So the point about the fluid timeline being set in concrete, here's the point. We get led to believe something, and that creates a kind of an anchor point in the mind, if you will. And then we don't ask the right questions because it shapes perspective. What I'm talking about specifically in this case is the Jesus Campos aspect of this fallacious narrative. We heard originally Jesus Campos was a hero. Remember Sheriff Under Sheriff McCahill said he's a hero, and it was only because of the efforts of the unarmed security guard, armed only with a baton, that Stephen Paddock stopped shooting. He interrupted the shooter, and then we waited another hour for SWAT to get there, McCahill said, even though there was a team at Mandalay Bay. I'm still wondering what the event was that they were talking about that this team was there for. So we had to wait for SWAT, he said. People, we had to wait for SWAT. Okay, well, if we had to wait for SWAT, McCahill, why did the four-man team, comprised of only one SWAT officer who had explosives on him, apparently, they said, why is that normal? LVMPD runs around with explosives on them? That's odd. So one SWAT officer on the four-man team with three other officers who were off duty at the time actually carried out the breach, or the first breach, because we're hearing there were two. Why didn't we hear about both originally? And why did this four-man team, a ragtag band of misfits, not the SWAT team, conduct the initial breach? It doesn't make any sense. And so back to Jesus Campos, where we heard originally he's a hero, Paddock stopped shooting only because of this hero. Okay, great. Now we're hearing, well, you know, actually, Campos was shot before the shooting started on the crowd. Okay, so what you're telling me is we're hearing that there was drilling, it was interrupted, and a panicked Stephen Paddock fired 200 rounds through the door at Campos and Shuck and just nicked one of the two after 200 rounds. Remarkable. And then starts firing on the crowd. It's ridiculous. But so we're told this, and then so he's panicked. Now he's going to start his operation at the end of the Harvest Festival, by the way. If he was panicked, why did he wait until the end? It doesn't make any sense. So he's panicked. So he turns around and immediately waits for 6 minutes before he does anything else. And then shooting starts. And then, with hundreds and hundreds of rounds left, even though apparently a few of the weapons in the room were jammed, he just quits firing and decides to shoot himself. After he rigged the room, he has personal protection equipment in the room, rigs the room to see who's coming down the hall so he knows when to shoot himself. So apparently officers showed up within minutes of the shooting stopping. So he apparently saw that it was time to shoot himself in the head, because that makes perfect sense. But now we're hearing other reports. Even Campos and Shuck are contradicting their official statements. I think it was Shuck who said that he thought that shooting was coming from inside the room, as in not shooting outside and down the hall, but inside the room before he arrived. So that kind of lends itself more to our suspicion, if you follow me. I want to go to the phones here in a second, but first I want to play this video from Jake. Again, this published yesterday, End Times News Report, YouTube channel, titled "Official Las Vegas Shooting Story is Falling Apart Fast, Vegas Investigation Part 6. Go ahead.
I'm Assistant Sheriff Todd Pasullo from Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. We are doing a thorough investigation and only want to provide what is accurate to you. We will only give information that we have vetted and know to be true. I will not be speaking or answering questions on issues that we do not have the facts yet.
When did he shoot the security guard, and did he continue shooting out of the window after he shot the security guard?
I know that he shot the one security guard up on the 32nd floor, but I don't know if he continued to shoot after that or not.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Kevin McMahill. I'm the undersheriff for the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. Most of you also now know the name of the Mandalay Bay security guard who you've all named in the media. And I'll just reaffirm to you that Jesus Campos is a true hero. I can tell you now just a little bit more that I know about what he did that particular day. We now know that he was dispatched to what they call a door alarm on the 32nd floor. He went up there to investigate the open door. And as he was doing his job diligently, he came under fire by our suspect. As you know, he was struck in the leg. He turned around and retreated. He notified his dispatch, which was absolutely critical to us knowing the location, as well as advising the responding officers as they arrived on that 32nd floor. I can tell you that this was a remarkable effort by a brave and remarkable man. I want to say today that I don't think we've done enough a good enough job recognizing him and his actions, and for that I apologize. I just want to take the moment and clear the record that he's an absolute hero. So you have a two-part question: is what time did the suspect go up, or I'm sorry, the security officer arrive to check the door, and why? The question, or the answer is that the door alarm went off, indicating that the door was ajar, so the officer was dispatched up to check that specific time. We have it. I don't know what it is, and I'm sorry, your second question. The question is, was the security officer shot before the suspect was shooting into the crowd? The answer to that is yes, we believe he was shot. We believe that he was shooting into the crowd, and then the security officer was shot during that event.
Those of you may not know, I'm Sheriff Lombardo of the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. Last week, we talked about the single person whose action helped pinpoint the location of the suspect. And that was the Mandalay Bay security guard, Jesus Campos. As you might imagine, Mr. Campos was not only injured when he was fired upon, as he did his room check about the door alarm down the hall from the suspect's room, but he was also extremely shaken up by what happened to him. He was able to confirm for us exactly what he heard and saw in the moments before he was shot. Mary Lou Danley, the suspect's live-in girlfriend.
And he knocked because of the drilling?
No. There's never been anything out in the public forum about knocking. He was investigated in an open door. He became of the drilling sound. Bear with me while I get that for you. 2159. That would be 9:59.
So Officer Campos, or Security Guard Campos, was shot at 9:50, just before 10 o'clock. And they shot out the window as you described them, there were
So let me help you with that, Ken, because you picked up on it. Yes, the timeline associated with the original shot and Mr. Campos has changed through investigation. As I have conveyed to you from the very beginning, in your zest for information, and my zest to ensure the public safety and the calming of their minds, is some things are going to change. Now, they are minute changes. Okay, there's not this all-encompassing answer associated with the information that we presented before. In other words, it's not completely inaccurate. But what we have learned is Mr. Campos was encountered by the suspect prior to his shooting to the outside world.
We will only give information that we have vetted and know to be true.
He was shooting into the crowd, and then the security officer was shot.
Yes, the timeline associated with the original shot and Mr. Campos has changed. Mr. Campos was encountered by the suspect prior to his shooting to the outside world.
Security guard Jesus Campos was only carrying a nightstick while he was on random patrol Sunday night in Mandalay Bay. At the same time, Stephen Paddock was in his hotel room firing onto the festival crowd.
He was personally attempting to locate what was occurring.
In a matter of minutes, Campos tracked down Paddock's hotel room. Campos had no gun and he was all alone, not even close to a fair fight, when the inside of Paddock's hotel room looked like this. Paddock had cameras looking outside, and he noticed Campos coming. That's when he turned his gun away from the festival and towards Campos, firing 200 rounds into the hallway.
He was shot in the right thigh.
Campos immediately radioed into police that he found the location, and they were there within seconds. Officials say without the help from Campos, they may not have found Paddock as quickly as they did. Campos told ABC News, "I was just doing my job."
We will only give information that we have vetted and know to be true.
Makes you wonder what else they're wrong about. Such as the real number of shooters.
Right now we believe it's a sole actor, a lone wolf type actor, and we have the place under control. We are comfortable that the primary aggressor in this event is has expired or passed away and is no longer a threat. There's been multiple phone calls and accusations or conjecture coming through social media that there's multiple shooters at other resorts that has been proven to be false.
Situation. We can't leave, and we're just here because of everything that happened earlier, and now we're...
Well, whatever you're hearing on the news or whatever, who knows what...
Yeah, because what they're reporting on the news is incorrect.
Yes. So.
And, yeah, okay, so as long as you guys knew that too, that's what I wanted to make sure. Okay, all right. That they're reporting that nothing happened here, and we were actually sitting at the Petrosian Lounge when all the mass chaos happened, and we heard the bop, 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 bop. Yes, and we were at the front. So, yeah. All right. So anyways, everybody, there it is. All right. Hope that helps you as far as knowing exactly what was going on at the Bellagio Hotel.
Okay, the question is, can we confirm whether there's an accomplice or not? I can tell you this, we're very confident that there was not another shooter.
Everyone started to get up to run, they just kept shooting, and it's like literally like 5 minutes of just shooting, and people just kept dropping, and it was definitely someone on the ground, definitely, most definitely, the way they heard it, the crowd, and all of us, and then they kept coming, they even came into the back parking lot, and shot people out there too, so they just kept coming.
We believe Paddock is solely responsible for this heinous act. We are aware of the rumors outside of the media and also on social media that there was more than one assailant. We have no information or evidence to support that theory or that rumor. We believe there was only one shooter, and that was Stephen Paddock.
Can you just show everyone so they understand? I don't understand the power of what just happened. You're a hunter, so you know, but...
So this is where the bullet went in?
that little tiny.
A tiny little thing, half the size of your pinky nail, and there was no exit wound, but everything kind of moves around. And
definitely do believe that there was 100% more than one shooter. Every other person that I've talked to that did get unfortunately hit as well have all said the same things.
We have uncovered no evidence to show there was a second shooter.
We heard the gunfires approaching where we were. They just started getting closer and closer and louder and louder. And I knew we were getting gunshots that were closer to us than where they originally started. And that's when we knew we had to run. I do believe that there were people inside of the venue once the initial shooting started, and everyone kind of panicked, running everything. Once the lights turned on the stage and kind of lit everything up, it was a lit target. I don't think one patient has been able to leave without giving another statement, myself included. As soon as I got discharged, there were two federal agents that wanted to get another audio statement when I left. And I'm telling them the same thing I'm telling you. I definitely believe there were at least 3 to 5 shooters, and 100% there was not just one person shooting from the 32nd floor.
Dozens more eyewitnesses say they are certain there was more than one shooter.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a matter of discussion out there, whether what I said is accurate or not. And what I am comfortable with saying is what I believe.
The American people don't care what you believe or what your FBI handler is telling you to say. We just want the truth. So that video is posted along with the other that we played in the final segment of the first hour. That one's titled Official Las Vegas Shooting Story is Falling Apart Fast. Vegas Investigation Part 6. And again, Jake Morfonius put that together, End Times News Report. I expect to have Jake on this broadcast next week. He's in Las Vegas, had another interview this morning. Otherwise, we probably would have had him on, but he'll be at the press conference later today, I understand, which is fantastic. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what comes of that. So independent journalists like Jake and Laura Loomer and Mike Tokes are really pressing for truth, so to speak, not to be cliche, but these are the only folks that are really challenging the establishment narrative, in spite of the fact that even the mainstream press, folks like Tucker Carlson are saying, wait a second, what's going on here? Fox News has a couple of videos, for example. One titled Tucker, Vegas Massacre Conspiracies, Conspiracy Theories Fill Void, which is an interesting concept and video. But the Steve Wynn interview was interesting. And why did Steve look nervous after he made that security or the service elevator remark? Why did he look like he was nervous and he wanted to be done with the interview? Fox Business video titled Las Vegas Shooting New Timeline in Question. See, there are questions. And the Tucker Carlson, have Las Vegas police botched the massacre investigation? Ann Coulter's asking questions. The American people should be asking questions. This is an opportunity for us to say, hey, my fellow Americans, there's a problem here.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's the good life.
You may have heard us talking during the break there. Our guest is Ann Coulter. Let's go. You can't keep her very quiet. You know how it is. I was about to say you can't shut her up, but of course you can. The book is In Trump We Trust. I haven't read it yet, but I promise that I will.
Well, if we could just get Trump to read it, we'd be in business.
If you just give me a free copy, I'd read the thing. Okay, now look, you are
People
critical.
People never read books they get free.
Oh, I do.
I never give books away. No, I make him pay for it.
Okay, David, I want a book. Okay. Now look, you're critical of the media coverage of Las Vegas.
Well, yes.
So am I.
Yes.
But what's your beef?
Well, I haven't paid much attention to the news in the last 24 hours, so I don't know if any of this has been answered yet, but within the first 24, 36 hours, we didn't know what the $100,000 was wired to the Philippines for. The only thing we knew about the woman who's been living with him for years was she wasn't there, she's not involved. Well, did she notice anything?
That was announced very quickly. That did come out very, very quickly, you're right. I mean, almost immediately that was stated.
Why were there two windows broken? Did anyone go into the room? I mean, he went in, he took the room on Thursday. There are supposed to be surveillance cameras everywhere. Did anyone else ever go into the room? As far as I know, they won't show us, but the media won't ask. Now, that's what I find the most interesting. They seem strangely reluctant to pursue this. They've decided he's a white man. We got our story. Don't look for any other facts.
Are you a conspiracy theorist?
No, but
do you think there's a conspiracy in the background here?
No, I think the media wants to say it's a white male. They decided that day one, and any other information might change that narrative. So they simply don't want to know. But I mean, as I pointed out in my column this week, this is how conspiracy theories arise. You won't tell us this stuff. Oh, and the woman shouting, you're all going to die, 45 minutes before the concert started. Do we know it? I mean, okay, it's probably just a crazy woman, but could we find out?
That's Ann Coulter 1 week ago today on Fox Business, Varney & Company with Stuart Varney. And most of the points that Ann Coulter raised a week ago are still unaddressed. Most of the questions are still unanswered. Interesting that, huh? Let's go to the phones real quick and grab John in Tennessee. John, thanks for calling. Welcome.
I appreciate it, Chris. I want to throw some things out. I don't want to call it speculation. I just want to say possibility. Okay, I'm ex-Air Force, ex-weapons mechanic. I know that every year in Las Vegas, about that time of year, end of August, end of August and into September, changes from year to year. But in Las Vegas, there are red flag war games. And this year, they had red flag war games. I'm not sure the date. I think it ended on the 28th. But they also had green flag, which would be in Colorado. And to kind of offer this up, in 2016, according to the drive, the United States Air Force lost several unmanned combat aircraft. September 10th of this year, according to what I was reading 2 days ago, there's a lab on the east coast of the states that for 20 minutes lost control of an unmanned aerial vehicle, UAV. I don't know if it was combat or not, but it got into Washington airspace before they regained control. They actually considered scrambling F-16s to shoot it down. While I was on hold, I heard one of the people that were in Vegas said he could hear the shots coming closer.
Yep, and so he wasn't the only one.
I just kind of like to say, is it possible, people, that yes, there may have been a shooter or two in Mandalay Bay, but that it's possible that these shots were coming from above, which would account for what I heard at the onset. If you remember, I told you that here in Nashville, reports were coming in that it was like it was raining bullets and, mm-hmm, I guess empty casings onto the stage where Aldean was singing. That makes sense. I'm not saying it happened. I'm just asking that we look at it. That would also make it possible to think that, you know, someone at the Bellagio would say that the doors were blown, the glass in the front was blown out, and they're saying I was there. She said my husband jumped on me, and other reports at the Tropicana and around Vegas. Is it possible that someone had commandeered, stolen maybe in 2016, stolen combat vehicles, unmanned, they're run with a laptop? That's hard to believe, but they're run with a laptop. I'll leave it at that, and I'll see what anyone has to say.
Yeah, I don't think it's out of the question, and I'll speak to that when we come back. Folks, stick around. More right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder, and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio, or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Most protected addresses in the world. Now the White House has a new security challenge that the Secret Service must face after several high-profile missteps over the last year. The potential threat from drones. Turns out the agency has been quietly running tests while the rest of us are sleeping. We get more from NBC's Peter Alexander.
For the last several weeks, in the middle of the night around Washington, the Secret Service has been testing how to defeat the threat of an unmanned drone. The effort, a response to a frightening episode last January, when this drone crashed on White House property, triggering a lockdown.
You have now a device that can transport both surveillance technology and explosives that's commercially available.
Details of the Secret Service's tests are classified, but experts say these are the best options. If a rogue drone zeroes in on the White House, agents can block the radio signal that connects the drone to its controller. They can shoot it down, but risk detonating an explosive or hitting people. The most complicated defense, hijacking the drone. This experiment, conducted by researchers at the University of Texas, shows how they hacked a drone's GPS, forcing it to the ground.
I think the Secret Service has a lot on their hands if they're going to protect the White House from threat of even these commercial drones.
Another challenge in heavily populated Washington, D.C., figuring out how to disable a drone without interfering with other devices that use similar frequencies, like car navigation systems, smartphones, even planes at nearby Reagan airports.
Unless you put up a giant net, there's no foolproof way that we'll be able to stop every single drone someone comes up with.
No word how long the secretive tests will last as federal agents try to prevent a mid-air intruder. Peter Alexander, NBC News, Washington.
So there you go. There's that story. That was a couple of years ago now. That story aired March 10th, 2015, NBC Nightly News. And so, I mean, we know the technology is widely available in use. I mean, I think of the movie The Jackal. Remember The Jackal with Bruce Willis and the remote firing capabilities that were kind of the centerpiece of that movie? You have that plus the UAV. You know, you combine those two and you get basically what John was talking about. And folks have talked about that. You know, the other clip that I want to play is the one that kind of echoes in my mind when Taylor Benge and Jennifer Byrne were on Hannity. And we played this clip, but it's titled Vegas Shooting Survivor, Bullets Were Going Over Our Heads, which is kind of to John's point. This is the one that I remember, Jennifer Byrne. I don't know about Taylor Benge. It's my understanding that he's somehow related. I think he's Corinne Lomas's brother. I think her mom's name is Shauna Benge. And so obviously I think Taylor is her son, but I'm not exactly sure how they're related yet, but I do know that I don't believe a word that Corinne Lomas says. She's the girl that was on, Dr. Phil back in 2013 at the age of 25, said that apparently she'd already had 7 abortions. And she strikes me as that was the narcissist episode of Dr. Phil. And she strikes me as what Alan Watt would call the hysterical attention seeking psychopath, as her mom describes her, you know, the person who thinks of herself as Gandhi, who should have her own reality TV show. So I don't believe anything she says. I don't know what Taylor Benge's role in everything is, but I don't find him to be disingenuous, certainly not to the level that I would describe her. But I believe what Jennifer Byrne said. And so here is that. Go ahead, please.
It's chilling. It's beyond chilling. Jennifer, when you finally recognized what had actually happened here and you looked out and you saw what was happening and people scattering, what did you see?
We just ran. I was with 2 other girls. We lost each other immediately. We all went in 3 different directions. One friend ended up hiding in a dumpster outside of McCarran by the tarmac. Another one got in an SUV with also 3 victims. Right. And I just ran to the left, but the farther away through back roads away from the strip, and the farther I ran, gunfire got louder, and it felt like it was getting closer, like they were right behind you, which led us to believe, think there were multiple shooters. It sounded like there was they were super close behind us. Yeah. And the farther you ran, the closer they got.
Many lives were changed last night.
They say now might be the ricocheting of bullets.
Mm-hmm. But Jennifer Taylor, thanks for sharing your story with our audience. Sorry you both had to go through that. And our thoughts and prayers, obviously, with the families, as I'm sure many parents now with their kids in hospitals, and they don't know the outcome of this yet.
McCarran International Airport is obviously to the east of Mandalay Bay. How is it possible, if they're running to McCarran, to the east of Mandalay Bay, that the shots sound like they're getting closer? And we've played a couple of those clips of different eyewitnesses saying the same thing, and actually in different areas, folks running to the north and northeast saying essentially the same thing. Folks running to the east, in this case, McCarran, as you heard Jennifer Byrne say. And she was very specific. She said, the farther I ran, the gunfire got louder. She's running to the east, away from Mandalay Bay. That's what's important here. The farther I ran away from Mandalay Bay, the gunfire got louder. And it felt like it was getting closer, like they were right behind you, which led us to believe there were multiple shooters. It sounded like they were super close behind us. So there are astute researchers who have pointed out that since McCarran International Airport is right there, you have the possibility of helicopters, a helicopter gunship scenario possibly. Or, as John pointed out, the UAV scenario. There are a number of unanswered questions that should be plainly obvious. So it's very disturbing, in my opinion, that we keep coming back to Las Vegas Metro essentially waving its hand in front of the American public in Jedi mind trick fashion and saying, there was only one shooter. There was only one shooter. We have no reason. We've uncovered no evidence to suggest multiple shooters. Really? Because your emergency dispatch audio seems to indicate otherwise, and eyewitness accounts seem to indicate otherwise. So are you saying that the people that were there didn't see what they saw? That the Tropicana and Bellagio incidents that were reported in the emergency dispatch audio were not incidents? The Luxor bomb threat was not an incident? Was there a drill being conducted, Sheriff Lombardo? Was there a citywide drill that was unannounced? Because someone at the, I believe it was the Mandalay Bay Resort, took a photo of the announcement that training needed to be completed by the 30th, right? And people will say, well, that's not a big deal. September 30th, you know, is the end of the fiscal year, which is fine. But this, I think it was active shooter training is what the memo says, needed to be, and it's a self-paced learning training kind of thing, but it needed to be completed by September 30th. And again, you know, the reason for the training in these scenarios is so that places everyone. If you're going to stage a production, everyone needs to know their part, and they need to be on, not location, but on their mark. They need to know their lines and so forth, so that when the cue happens. Anyway, obviously everyone is not in on every false flag incident. I'm not saying that, but there are a lot of unanswered questions in this case, and there are very plausible scenarios. The UAV scenario, I mean, we just played the NBC news video, the Secret Service conducting secret drone operations over DC at night. Nothing to be alarmed about. It's just us. They're conducting secret drills, unmanned drones, UAVs, over the White House in D.C. There is strong evidence to suggest that department-wide or agency-wide drill. There was staging and all kinds of things happening on October 1st in Las Vegas. There seems to be a cover-up. A lot of questions. And the narrative changed. You know, Sheriff Lombardo says minute changes, but the narrative changed so much concerning Campos and Shuck, the security guard and the engineer, respectively, or the maintenance guy, that they've gone from, Campos has gone from being a hero to, he should probably be a suspect. The shooting didn't start until after the announcement. I mean, it's very easy to, if they're accomplices, for example, it's very easy for someone to shoot up a door and then wing one guy, nick him in the leg, and then say, you know, the actual shooter was shooting at us. How do we know they're not accomplices? Are they being investigated? I'm not saying that they're guilty, but don't we have to look into that now? Because the shooting didn't start until they were both up there. And why were they both up there? It's very peculiar. It's all very odd. So, again, I think that the American public needs to be asking questions. I'm very curious to see what will happen after today's presser. And so I will wait with bated breath, and we'll see what happens. One thing I am fairly certain of is I'm not confident that we'll get any kind of real answers from Las Vegas Metro or the FBI handlers that are always standing there in the background. It's interesting. You know, you hear eyewitnesses say that the FBI folks are basically coaching victims and survivors in their statements. Again, the Jedi mind trick. Yeah, I think there were multiple shooters, at least like 3 to 5 shooters. No, you don't think that. You think that there was one shooter. You're pretty sure. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there was one shooter. It's ridiculous. Again, like the North Korea nonsense, it's insulting to the intelligence of anyone paying attention. Something very wrong has happened, and we're adding wrong on top of wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right, as Mom used to say. And three or four or five wrongs obviously don't either. So something is very wrong, and it's pretty clear that there is a cover-up. You know, when Sheriff Lombardo keeps reiterating the fact that no one's trying to hide anything and making those kinds of statements, that's odd. Usually that's suspicious behavior. So coming from the top law enforcement official in Las Vegas, it's very disconcerting and disturbing, quite frankly. So let's keep our eyes peeled and see what happens, see what the independent journalists like Jake Morfonius and Laura Loomer and Mike Toks turn up while they're down there. I still believe that we should be pushing for a congressional investigation. Again, not that anything would come of that, but at least it would raise awareness, I think, throughout the country, hopefully. And probably, you know, not – we wouldn't get to the bottom of things, I'm pretty sure, but it would shine a brighter light on the corruption, the duplicity, and the vacillating that seems to kind of categorize the incident and the investigation, if we can even call it that, into what happened on Sunday, October 1st in Las Vegas. There are a lot of questions still. That's pretty obvious. Some of the questions, you know, as folks are asking, I mean, motive is still a question. And the reason motive will always remain a question in this scenario is because we're not looking at the right suspect. I've talked about this numerous times. And just to reiterate that, once again, suspect A. We'll just this is, I think, the best way to put it. Suspect A and suspect B. Suspect A, Stephen Craig Paddock, a man with nothing to gain, who had personal protection equipment and probably was planning on escaping. How, no one knows. Was he going to jump out the window? Rigs his room, meticulously plans an event, rigs his room with three cameras so he knows when to shoot himself in the head, because that makes sense. He has a grudge against concert goers, security guards and maintenance people, but has a soft spot in his heart for law enforcement, so he shoots himself before he shoots them. That makes sense. And suspect B, the defense, security, national, military establishment, intelligence community, which accuses A of the crime, by the way, has a history of lying, deceiving, and creating scenarios very similar to the crime it accused A of, to justify its existence and secretive plans and activities, and stands to gain tremendously and profit handsomely from the inevitable uptick in security and surveillance. Which suspect would you investigate? Which suspect clearly has motive? Which suspect doesn't seem to have motive at all? False flags, Manchurian candidates, patsies, the military-industrial complex, the national military establishment, the intelligence-industrial complex, it has a vested interest in these kinds of scenarios. At the very least, it's ROM, Opportunities of Crisis Emmanuel, rinse and repeat scenario, isn't it? We're hearing the same cries. Basically the plan that the anonymous John warned about on 4chan back in September. It's playing out pretty much exactly the way that it was outlined. Is this a problem? So I have questions. We'll talk about some of those questions when we come back. Final segment coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate?
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday the 13th, Friday, October 13th, 2017. Hopefully we don't have any more October surprises, real or imagined, Jedi mind trick. But seriously, there are questions that remain about Las Vegas. There was an autopsy performed. Was it actually the body of Stephen Craig Paddock? Were there extensive traces of gunpowder around his face from him shooting himself in the face and on his hands? All over his body, probably. The Eyes Wide Shut photos show a neck tattoo. Was there a neck tattoo? No neck tattoo on the decedent in the graphic hotel room photo, and no evidence of removal. Do we have a ballistics report yet? Where was all the shattered glass on the parking area roof below the broken windows? Are there photos of the glass? Did anyone notice? What other anomalous market activity preceded the incident? Remember the MGM short selling and other advanced market notice indicators? Here is a great video on that. Go ahead.
This is Dabu 7. This information is huge to me. We have Mr. Soros putting in a short, basically betting on the downfall of MGM stocks before the events that went down. Not only that, we have a slew of information connected to the individuals that were running the stocks and the stock management that after you see what happened, it raises a lot of red flags. Soros bet $42 million. He put $42 million on puts, betting on a loss on MGM. How did they know? What were they expecting? Getting into the details here of the guy that ran the whole thing, MGM CEO James Murin, he had coolly divested himself of 80% of the shares that he owned in the company. Now, why would you do this when you're expecting your company to be making money? And what I mean by that is this is what they did in September. From July 31st up till they started making these moves. What they did is they chose to implement this repurchasing program. It is called a company share repurchase program. What this does is it removes other parts of the assets and in turn will make the price of each share go up. Soon as they implemented this, this guy got rid of 80% of everything he had. So it raises the question, why, when a move was made that would have benefited someone in a company like this, why would you have ever just thrown all your money away or made a move like that unless you were expecting something to happen? This is interesting that right on the heels of this, George Soros comes in and bought $42 million worth of puts on the company, meaning he was betting on the downfall. And they got it right after recent events. Big time information to me. Got to have eyes to see, folks.
And then after that, of course, we have the mainstream news reports that MGM Resorts lost about $1 billion in value. Huh. Interesting. You know, if you're shorting, you're betting on losses, how fortuitous. Anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope that this Friday the 13th is fairly uneventful, if you know what I mean. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care, God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.